We continue the Shir in Sichah Yisaran, Sif Kuf Memtes, dealing with the Sipuri Maisiyos, 13th, last Maisa, the Zion Betlers. We'll try to conclude this Maisa today, we hope. Maisa briefly deals with two children who were lost in the forest, who were privileged to witness the attention of seven Betlers, seven beggars, which actually were tzaddikim, the highest, the greatest tzaddikim of all time. And as we learn later, they actually were all one individual tzaddik. Three tzaddik emes who came in different forms. Later, when this couple, this boy and girl, these children, came to their wedding date, they remembered these Zion Betlers, the seven Betlers, and they cried for them. Each one of the 7 days of a feast after the wedding, one of the Betlers appeared, which means that the tzaddik appeared in one form after the other. On the sixth day, which we are up to now, the sixth Betler appeared. The sixth Betler was the one without hands or with a defect in the hands. And he explained to them, just as the others did, that there was nothing wrong with his hands. It's just that his hands were far superior to the normal or to the natural. He told the story of a great tzaddikim who spoke about the power they had in their hands and the fact that four of them prided themselves with this power. One said that he could shoot an arrow and then remove the arrow after it's been shot, an arrow, a poison arrow, remove it to cure the recipient of that arrow from this poisoned arrow. The Betler, the sixth Betler, said to this tzaddik that you know only one-tenth of what you're supposed to, because there are 10 different kinds of poison arrows. Since you cannot remove the other nine, therefore you cannot cure the princess, which we'll discuss in today's story. Second one boasted he had a power in his hands that whoever he receives from he actually gives to, which means the power of tzedakah. Again, he had only one of the 10 different powers of tzedakah. He cannot cure the princess. Third said that he has the power of bestowing wisdom upon those whom he rests his hands on. Again, he asked him, since there are 10 different kinds of wisdom, which come from the 10 different pulses in the wrist, and this tzaddik knew only one of them, he too could not cure the princess. Fourth one said he has the power of stopping the wind or to arrange the wind in a proper form to a degree, whatever degree he wants. And again, the reply of the Betler was that you know only one of the 10 different winds. The winds, of course, refer to the Nagina, the power of song, which comes from these wind instruments. Since you know only one of the 10 different kinds of Nagina, as, for example, the Sefer Tehillim is written, is composed according to the 10 different kinds of musical notes, since this tzaddik knows only one, he too cannot cure the princess. I asked the Betler, what can you do? He said, I can do whatever you cannot. In other words, all the nine portions that are missing from that which you claimed you could do, plus the one that you could do, I know all of them. Therefore, I am the only one that can cure this princess. Now, we come to the story of this princess who is to be cured by this sixth Betler. He told the story as follows. One time there was a king, cruel king, who desired this princess. He desired her very much. He strove very hard to take her captive, until finally he succeeded. He captured her, took her, and subdued her. He kept her captive in his lair. One day, this evil king had a dream in which he dreamt that this princess rose up and killed him. A very frightening nightmare. He woke up and he took this dream seriously. He called all the interpreters to interpret this dream, and each one interpreted simply, as simple as it was. The dream will come true, and that the princess will kill him. The king could find no peace of mind. He could not find a solution to this problem. What should he now do to her? If he should kill her, he felt very badly about that. He wanted her so much, how can he feel right in killing her? Should he send her away, this would hurt him even more. Because after all, he went through to get her. Now someone else will be able to take her captive, will own her. But this bothered him even still more. And secondly, if he does send her away, and she does come to a different person, a different king or a different master, then surely the dream will come true because she will want to take revenge. She'll surely come back to kill him. Should he keep her with him, not to kill her, not to send her away? He was afraid that at any moment she may fulfill that dream and kill him. So the king did not know what to do. And while thinking about this, as the moments passed by, because of this trepidation, this worry and fear, he began to decrease the amount of ahava, affection, that he had for this princess. He lost his affection for her bit by bit because of this dream. And of course, in return, she too began to dislike him also, bit by bit, until she began to detest him. And so finally, she fled. She escaped. The king sent his soldiers after her to search for her. They came back and reported that she was now at the fortress made of water, a fortress purely consisting of water. Because, this the butler told, there is a fortress made of water, and this fortress, there are 10 walls, 10 separate walls, one inside the other, one past the other. All these are walls of water. And the ground on which one goes through these walls into the Tiller fortress also are made of water. Within these walls, within these boundaries, there are trees, fruit, ones of extraordinary beauty. All of them consist of water. The beauty of this fortress, the remarkable sight, is impossible to describe, because certainly it's something that's very novel, very unusual, since the entire thing consists of only water. To go into this fortress, to enter into it, these walls, is a physical impossibility, because a person would surely drown. The princess fled till she came to this fortress, and she began to circle this fortress looking for a way in. The soldiers reported to the king that she was walking around this fortress. The king went himself, took his army to recapture her. She saw the king coming after her. She decided that she would flee within this fortress. Because if it meant that she would drown, she preferred dying, drowning, rather than to have this king, this detestable creature, to recapture her. And so she felt too that perhaps by some miracle or whatever, she might be saved by entering this fortress of water. When the king saw that she was fleeing into this fortress of water, there was no way that he could run after her, capture her. So he ordered his men to shoot her. If she dies, let her die. So his soldiers shot at her with arrows, and the arrows reached their mark. All 10 different types of arrows that were smeared with the 10 different types of poison, entered, penetrated her, found a mark, and she fled, wounded, so seriously wounded, into this fortress. She went through, past the gates of these 10 different walls, because in the walls of water, there are gates too, also made of water. She passed through this, entered into the last one, into the fortress of water itself, to the very interior, and there she fell unconscious. This Betler, sixth Betler, said, "And I am occupying myself working on her cure. I am presently curing her." We'll come back to this in a moment. Let's first see a little. First try to understand a little about the what is meant by the terms that are used here. First, when we speak about the king, this evil king who desired this princess, princess of beauty. Who is the evil king? This naturally refers to the Satan. The Satan, the Yetzirah, who is the ruler. In the Torah we find that the Satan is called Melech Zokin Uxil, a fool, an old fool, but a king, one who rules over those who are his subordinates. When a Yetzirah overtakes a person, he overpowers a person, one of those lines, he actually rules that person. His command is carried out. Person falls victim to the temptations, to the wiles of this Yetzirah, and he obeys like a slave. So this, therefore, he is called a king. The princess of beauty is the Jewish neshama, the soul of every Jew. This is to be taken either individually or collectively. It means each single Jew in his battle against this king, or it means the entire Jewish nation, the Knesset Yisrael, as one, the soul of the Jewish nation, which is always in combat, the Melchemes Hayitz, always in combat against this king. Now the Satan's mission on earth is to try to capture this soul of beauty, Jewish soul. This is what his mission is. This is what he occupies himself with. So the Satan, in his attempt to pursue and to overtake and to capture and to subdue the Jewish soul, in most cases, is successful. He has this soul under his power. But then the dream comes to him. The fact this means at a time close to Mashiach's coming, he realizes the future. The dream portends the future. Future as is brought, that there will come a time when he will be slaughtered. We say in the Haggadah, Hashem will slaughter the Malach HaMavis, the angel of death. Remember, this is one single individual. Satan, the Yetzirah, Malach HaMavis, it's all actually one single angel. This one, ultimately, eventually, after Mashiach's coming, Hashem will slaughter this Yetzirah, this evil angel, this evil king. So, the Satan becomes desperate. What should he do? Should he first try to destroy Chas V'Shalom, the Jewish soul? Destroy completely? And perhaps thereby his life will be saved, because if there's no Jewish soul left, or Jewish nation, Chas V'Shalom, there'd be no benefit in killing him. So he contemplates this idea. As a result, he loses his taste for this Jewish soul. Till now, it's all he wanted was to capture the soul, take it captive, to rule it. Now, when he feels that this soul, rather than being a slave, has become his enemy, will ultimately destroy him, he begins to dislike it. And as a result, too, there is an actual awakening from within, the deep cry of the captive soul, awakening that all its pleasures and joy and typhus desires the person has really are wasted. There is nothing tangibly good there. It's all an illusion. Eventually, this will all prove to be the person's undoing. The soul begins to awaken and loses its taste. The taiva begins to sour. So that's why Venerable says here that by her too, a liking for him turned to a hatred. That's the arousing within a person's heart to tshuva. A tshuva, he begins to dislike the taivas which he kept pursuing. So the soul flees. Where does a soul flee? Where should a Jew flee to when he is attacked and overpowered by the satan? The Gemara says, Mashichehu lebeis hamedrash. Drag the satan, the Yitzhara, into the beis hamedrash. Go into the shul, open a sefer, and start to learn. That is the fortress that will protect you against the satan. The satan is fire, this fortress is water, which will extinguish the fire of taivas. A person is aroused to sin, there is a burning desire within him. The waters of taiva, the cool waters of taiva, extinguish this fire of taiva. So, this fortress of water, a fortress, protective fortress, against all evil, is the one item, the one haven of refuge, of safety against this evil king. And yet we say that a person fleeing there can drown. It could be fatal, of course. The study of Taita is not of benefit to everyone. A person must first be equipped with the proper degree of emunah. There are many people who study Taita and they emerge apikursim, as a shalom, kefrim, great scholars who learn Taita. Or you have some of the not so great reform rabbis, and they are the worst kefirim in existence, atheists. And then too you have those who study Kabbalah. Kabbalah itself, as the Rizal says, is the Taita of truth, the knowledge of truth and depth. Yet a person who does not possess the proper degree of emunah can become the worst kefir too. There are those who study the Zohar Kodesh, Rahman al-Islam, for their tummy contaminated minds and mouths, who then voice statements against the Zayda Kodesh Rahman, against Kabbalah. There are many Kabbalists, or so-called ones, who spout the most venomous statements against true faith. They are the ones who spread the poison of philosophy. So that we see that the study of Torah itself could prove a person's undoing. It is the fresh waters of Taita, where if a person cannot swim properly, he will surely drown. In order to swim, he must be equipped with the lifesaver, which is emunah, true faith. Now we say that the Taita itself, the fortress, is water. Everything in it too was made of water. Note that we stressed even the ground there was made of water too. This means that, very simply, of course, if you understand it, simple after you get the information. Nosazal tells us that the word Bereshis is one of the 10 statements with which the world was created. The word Bereshis is that word that was used to create water. The first item in all of creation was water. The first item before all of creation was the Taita. Therefore, the similarity. Now, since that was the first item, hence, when we say that there was a creation of Yesh Me'ayin, something was created out of nothing. This Yesh refers to water. Water was created from nothing. Just by the word of Hashem, the command of Hashem created water from nothing. Afterwards, everything else following that was Yesh Me'yesh. Everything else was a product of something that existed already. So what was the earth created from? From nothing? It was not from nothing. The earth came from water. Original creation was water. From that water, there was produced everything else subsequently. So that's why, in this fortress, even the earth was made of water. Everything in this creation came from the original first item, which was water. The earth, and then in the later days, the trees, the fruit, and so on, all came because of the first item of creation, which was water. The beauty of this fortress, of course, is impossible to relate. And, of course, the beauty, too, is the fact, the sense, the depth of wisdom, because in the Torah there are secrets that are impossible to fathom. Items, too, where a person could fall victim there. The secret of the Chol HaPonui. We explained, Ben Azal says that in creation itself, Hashem created the world. In order to create something where there was only Hashem, there had to be a constriction. It had to be Kaviyochel. Hashem had to remove himself partially from a given area of space in that space to create the world. Now, it means that if the world was to be created, it had to be a space, an area that was vacant of Kaviyochel, vacant of Hashem's spirit. If it was vacant of Hashem's spirit, how could anything exist there? How could there a world exist if that part was vacant of Hashem's spirit? And if it was not vacant of Hashem's spirit, then how could there be room for the world to exist? This is the question of the Chol HaPonui. Ben Adal says that this question is one that cannot be answered and that a person should not attempt to answer. It's an impossibility. Anybody who attempts to answer this question will fall into the worst type of philosophy and kvida. So this is what's meant by the danger of going into these 10 walls, the fortress of water, the danger of a person falling victim into something which cannot be answered, which is beyond his mental conception. Now, this is one item. We speak until now about the neshama being chased by, pursued by the satan. This too affects the entire Jewish people. We speak about this king. The king refers also to the first dangers which the Jews themselves have suffered. That is the beginning of the Jews as a people. Abraham Avinu came to Egypt with his wife Sarah. That's the princess. The king pursued her, took her captive. The result was the king lost out. However, he came back stronger later to take Abraham Avinu's children, the entire Jewish nation, captive. He took them captive until the time came when they decided to flee. Where did they flee to? They fled to the waters of the Yam Suf. They came to those waters. Going into the water would mean certain death. They would drown. And yet, they plunged in. When they plunged in, this king followed them. He ordered his men to shoot. In the Chumash, we find that the Egyptian soldiers shot the arrows at the Jews. And, of course, we know it says the Malach of Hashem acted as a buffer between the Egyptian soldiers and the Jews and received all these poisonous arrows. However, all, not exactly some, of this poison did penetrate through, reached some of the Jews, and therefore we find that they were poisoned. Some were poisoned because we see Midrash, the Gemara says that some of them were filled with a lack of faith. They said, we're going to drown, the same as the others. What's going to stop us from being wiped out? Which meant a complete lack of faith the power of Hashem saving them. This is where they were hurt. This resulted later in these 10 arrows poisoned by Paro, the Egyptians, resulted in a lack of faith by the Jews. We find that in the desert, as we read in Pirkei Avos, Chumash, it says, Asoro nisyonos nisu aviseinu. The Jews, kaviyochol, tested Hashem 10 times in the desert. 10 times, the story tells in the Chumash, how they angered Hashem through their lack of faith in Hashem. This was due to the 10 kinds of poison that were injected in them by the arrows of the evil king, Paro, and his men. When we say, too, that the king commanded his men to shoot into this princess, remember the princess means royalty. Gemara says that the Satan does not bother with peasants, with low people. He doesn't bother with goyim. He doesn't bother even with the havdah with Jews who are amaratzim, illiterates, ordinary low type. Satan leaves them all. He abandons all the ordinary people and goes primarily to attack the Talmidei Chachamim, the select, chosen sages, tzaddikim. Those are the ones which he concentrates his main line of attack. Therefore, the king commanded to shoot the princess specifically. Again, princess, which means the royalty, the Gemara says, Talmidei Chachamim are man malchi rabona. They are kings, they are princes, they are royalty. So the sixth butler said that I am occupied the attempt to cure this princess. The attempt to cure. He does not say I have cured her. I have done my duty in curing her, that simply. Because takes the cooperation of all the other tzaddikim. Their cooperation is, they must admit that he is their superior. There is one tzaddikim over them. They must accept his rule with pure emunah on him. There must be emunah in the tzaddikim, not just by every Jew, but by even the leading tzaddikim, to accept the fact that he is their leader. And without the Tzaddik Emes, they are nothing. All the prophets in the world received their prophecy only through the power of Moshe Rabbeinu. It was his nevuah, which he meted out. He allotted to each one whatever they received, came through Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, the words of this betla, I am curing her. I'm in the process of curing her. There is no part of the story where it says, I completed the cure. Just as in the betler on the fourth day, and it says that the betler on the fourth day was bringing together these two birds, HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Shekhinah, he's working on that. It will not be complete till Mashiach comes. Ultimately, we'll see the final geula. This geula takes time through the constant effort of the tzaddikim. Now, the betler continued that I am working on curing her because whoever does not have the 10 different kinds of tzedakah cannot enter into these 10 walls. He doesn't have the 10 kinds of tzedakah and he will drown in that water. Tzedakah itself is a fortress that will help him enter into this fortress. The king and his army, the evil king, pursued the princess, all of them were drowned. Just as we find Paro and his army entered into the waters chasing after the Jews, and they were drowned. Now the butler said, I can enter into these 10 walls of water, because these 10 walls of water are actually 10 waves of the sea that rose up and stand like a wall. What keeps this wall of water standing? The winds that blow, the tide, keeps the water up at this height. It elevates, it raises the waters up. these winds with the waves are there steadily. The winds keep them up in an upright position, and I am able to enter through because I have the power over these winds, the power of stukka, and also I'm able to draw from the princess the 10 different kinds of arrows. How? How do I cure her? Because I know the 10 different pulses through the 10 fingers. Every finger has a different pulse. I'm an expert in detecting the pulses. Therefore, through the knowledge of the pulses, I can then cure the princess with the 10 different kinds of nagina. Therefore, I cure her. 10 different kinds of musical notes. Because, what is the actual sickness? What is her illness? If we have to diagnose her illness properly, what kind of a sickness does she have? What is she afflicted with, to be exact? The answer is that this king, this Satan, is the Nachash, the serpent. Nachash begimatria Satan. This Nachash, the first Nachash who brought death to the world, he is the Malach HaMavis afterwards. He is the Satan who causes the downfall and destruction, Chas HaShem, of so many innocent souls. What is his weapon? What is the bite, the venom of this serpent? His bite is atzvus, sadness, depressed mind. A person becomes depressed and sad, and without simcha, without life, that is due to the bite of the Satan. He has fallen victim to the Satan. How do we cure? What is the necessary cure for this venom, this poison? That is simcha. True simcha, which removes completely this fog, defogs the mind, the sadness, this depression. The person is zechut to that true simcha. This true simcha can be obtained only through the 10 kinds of negina, the musical notes which bring to simcha. The 10 different kinds of negina are all part of the Sefer Tehillim. Combined, they make up the Tikkun HaKloli. Now we know, Avinazal mentions many times, that Chilul HaBris, Chas V'Shalom, person who commits the sin of Chilul HaBris, should know that it is due to atzvus, due to sadness and depression of mind. If he thinks that he's happy at the time he's committing the sin, that's a false kind of happiness. That's due to a deep, inherent feeling of depression of mind, and this causes him to commit the worst, foulest acts. Therefore, in order to cure that, he's got to remove this depression of mind, this sadness, this atzvus, this mora shcheda, this bitterness, by simcha, by the tikkun hakloli, which is the cure-all. Simcha is the cure-all eventually for all time. The geula will come through the simcha of the 10 chapters. Therefore, we find that the Gemara says, at the Red Sea, the Yam Suf, when the Jews were saved, what was the final word that saved them? Oz Yoshir Misha Uvnei Yisrael. Then Misha Men and the Jews sang. They sang this song of Simcha, Negina, song music. But not that they sang Oz Yoshir. Oz then, in the future, Yoshir will come the Geula, the ultimate Geula, Yoshir they will sing. What kind of a song? Ale Osir Fa Ale Novel. A song on a kind of music instrument which is Osir, made up of 10 parts. An instrument that's made up of 10 parts, which means the Shir Shel Osed Lavai, the song of the future, which is composed of Hashem's name, Yudkei Vovkei, letters Yudkei Vovkei, Be Achirayim, Yud, that's Poshut 1, Yudkei, that's 2 more is 3, Yudkei Vov, 3 more is 6, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, four more is 10. That's the total name of Hashem Bachadayim. Of the made up of these 10 components, that's the 10 kinds of Negina of the future. Yosad Lovoy Ganeden too. The future world will have this song completed, and therefore that will bring about the complete extermination of the Satan in Malach HaMavos. This is the work of the Tzadik Emes, who through these 10 kinds of Negina fills the, removes the poisonous arrows from the Shekhinah, from the Knesset Yisrael, from the Jewish people, and from each Jewish neshama individually. The Nosazel says now, of course the Bettler completed his statement by saying, so as a result you see the wonderful, marvelous power I have in my hands. I now give you this power as a gift. Then greatest possible simcha broke out. They were so filled with happiness at this wedding. Of course, it was not complete. Complete to a point, of course. This is the end of the story. We do not have the seventh Bettler here, the one without feet. We do not have also the connection with the beginning of the story. The story of the prince, not princess, but prince, also had, in a sense, lost his faith. The king had told him, you're taking over the kingdom, but you must be besimcha. Even if you fall, if you're not besimcha, I will be happy anyhow, happy at your downfall. So we know that there is a proximity, a closeness between these two. The prince who required simcha to be cured, the princess who required simcha also to be cured. Who, Bila Kutum says, who would cure the prince? Tie in that story where we could just detect a slight ray of light there. The first part of the story with this prince who dropped after he took over the kingdom, the one that will cure him is the seventh Bettler. Bettler without legs, which means legs are perfect. The Hamuda Nelar Agla, the foundation, the yisoid, the legs, is emuna. Netzach and Haid, which uphold the malchus, the emuna, that seventh Bettler cures the prince, the sixth Bettler cures the princess. This brings about the yichud, the elo lamala, and the ultimate gula. Nosazel says, let's note, though, that of course is for the future. Mashiach will come, we'll have the Gula Shlema, and of course, too, Mashiach will speak, teach, reveal the secrets of this, the greatest story of all time. One note to go into the story for a moment, a little deeper, to notice that there is something very special about the story. It contains every single item. If we look into it, every item in Teda Shebichsav, the written Teda Shebal Peh, every part of the oral Teda, every facet of Kabbalah, it's all included in this story. Nosazel points out that if we notice, the story consists of the four tzaddikim who spoke about the four different kinds of powers. All these four are what struck the princess, and all four were necessary on the part of the Bettler to cure the princess. We had first the arrows, the poisonous arrows. That's the lowest form. This refers to the lowest of the four worlds, the Olam HaAsiya. This lowest of four worlds, Asiya, that's the material world. This refers also to the lowest of the four names of Hashem, Av, Sog, Mabon. Asiya is the Shem Bon. This refers also to the four different types of creation. Four types of creation are Demeim, the inorganic, Tzameach, vegetation, Chai, animal life, and Daber, human life. So this Asiya Bon is Demeim, the inorganic life, which refers to the four elements also, Afar, of Esh, Ruach, Mayim, Afar, fire, air, water, and earth. that's Ofer is the lowest of the worlds. The four parts of the Torah are the Isias, the letters, the Tagim, the crowns, the Kudais, the vowels, and the Tam, the musical notes. And now we get this, the reconciling them, putting them in their proper order, proper perspective. We take first, we spoke about the arrows of poison, refers to the bottom of all these four. Bottom is this Elam HaAsiya, this material world, the Shem Bon, corresponding to Daimim, inorganic life, corresponding to the Ofer, the earth of the four elements, corresponding to the lowest, the letters of the Torah. And every one of these is made up of 10 kinds of arrows, because every one of these items has 10 Sfidas. So this, speaking about these arrows, means in creation, the Sfidas HaKelim, or at the actual creation, there was a destruction. The worlds themselves were destroyed to a degree, lowered, and they require a tikkun, perfection. The next step was the water, the walls of water. Water referred to, as the Betla said, tzedakah, 10 different kinds of tzedakah. This is the next level, the world Olam HaYetzirah, angelic world, referring to the Shem Mo, the second name of Hashem, referring to the next level of creation, Sameach, vegetation, corresponding to the second of the elements, which is water, corresponding to the crowns of the Sefer Torah, and this refers to tzedakah, which is the beginning of the tikkun, perfecting the world. Third item was the 10 different kinds of pulses. These pulses referred to, as he said, the 10 degrees of chachma, of wisdom, and this is the third world going up, the Elam HaBriya, the Shem Sog, the of the four types of creation. This refers to Chai, animal life, and of the four elements, this is fire, because it's Nukva, is fire, it's Dinim, the four parts of the Torah is Nikudais, and this is what gives the power to the Tzaddik to cure, because the Nikudais, as we said, these are the Nikudais. Tikkun Isaiah says that the vowels in the Torah, they correspond to the pulse. How does a tzaddik recognize the pulse to diagnose an illness of the neshama? He listens to the pulse, detects the nekudas, the vowels, each pulse corresponds to. This way he knows exactly what sin a person committed and how to cure it, what to do tshuva for. Top level was the negina. Negina are the 10 different winds, wind instruments. This refers to the highest of the worlds, Elam HaAtzilus, the highest name of Hashem, Shem Ayin Beis, the highest creation, Medaber, human, the four elements, the wind, this is the 10 winds, and the four parts of the Torah, this is the Tam. This refers to the end of the Tikkun, complete Tikkun, having had the first three. The Tzaddik Emes can then use the wisdom of the winds, which means the Negina, 10 kinds of Negina, which is the Tikkun HaKloli, which comes from, as we see now, the Elam HaAtzilus. Avinu got the Tikkun HaKloli from the Elam HaAtzilus, the highest of the worlds, from the Shem Ayin Beis. To ascend that high, it takes only the Tzaddik Emes to be able to achieve that. In all generations, till that was achieved, till it was discovered, finally by the Avinu Zal, to reveal these 10 Tamim, 10 kinds of Negina, which is the Tikkun HaKloli, and which will definitely bring about the final Geula, because this will cure, this is curing, the Princess, the Knesset Yisrael, the Shekhinah, the Shekhinah Begelusa, to bring the Shekhinah back out of Golis into its final redemption, back to Eretz Yisrael. We should be zecher to attempt to understand, learn, to study the words of the Rabbeinu Zal with that basic requirement of emunah. Emunah in every single word of the Torah and every facet of the Torah. Emunah in the Tzaddik Emes, a true iskashus to the Tzaddik Emes. Emunah in Hashem. That zechus, tavoi tashuri meresh emunah. That zechus we will be zechut to see with our eyes the completion of the task of the Tzaddik Emes when ultimately there'll be the final cure. The Shekhinah will return triumphantly with the Jews, with its children, to Eretz Yisrael, there to rebuild its home, the home of the Shekhinah, the Beis HaMikdash, becoming Moshiach, the kingdom of Heda. Amen.